I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. It's your boy, Flobo Boyce, and this is, once again, the NXT After Show and AfterBuzz TV Wrestling Reports. The Black and Gold brand gets the love, and we share the love, all of that, with you. Of course, like most episodes in this series, we'll be trolling the chat. Let me know what you guys think of what's going on in the world of wrestling today. Big news. I got to say this before we even get into the different wrestling panel. You guys may have heard a lot of individuals on the WWE rosters have been sent their walking papers for a lot of reasons. We'll get into that. The global pandemic is a reaching every single person. I really want to hear what the panel thinks about that. But first, let's introduce him, right? First, introducing the guy, the owner, the creator of Real Talker from Chicago, Illinois. Give it up for Jim Alexander.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens and marks.
That's what's up. Tiger King himself. And we have the Emmy-nominated Emily May.
Hey, everyone. I feel like you're pumping it up, Flobo. You're bringing it.
Yeah, man, I do try making it happen here in Southern California. You're making it happen in Arizona, too. Champs are wrestling from Hollywood. And, of course, we have another guest here also on the writing team, but has been a part of the At the Bus City Wrestling family for a long time. Give it up for the stand-up comedian, the professional wrestler himself, Hamza Khan, Hamzamania.
Hey, man, thank you guys for having me. So much exciting stuff to talk about. I'm happy to be back on this panel. I'm ready to get started on NXT.
Yeah, let's talk about NXT first, but let's talk about before the NXT review, the big news today. If you're like me, you probably got your phone blown up. Other fans, other people talking about the roster cuts and changes. Up to 40% of the roster, including staff and all that, is pretty much maybe shifting out of their current roles. I'm going to reserve judgment here. I want to make open the floor for everyone else. Jim Alexander, I know you and I were talking about this offline. Just, thoughts about that and where it stands for WWE today.
Well, I mean, it's not bad timing with everyone kind of losing their jobs, but this is nothing new because they've been doing this for years. It's called the spring cleaning, right? I mean, this has been going on pretty much every year. I know it's a little bit more startling because of the times, and now that, you know, WWE has been signing people to multi-year contracts, you know, over the past year or so. But here's the thing: you never want to see anyone lose their job, and you see like a Drake Maverick and someone like that taking it really to heart, because some people will never recover and bounce back. Some of these wrestlers we won't see again, especially with the indies not running right now. And so some, this might be the end of the road. But also, a lot of these names who have been released have asked for these releases. So some might actually be okay with it. I feel like the Maria Kanellises and you know, there have been names that on this list that are exactly the people who have been asking to be released. So now they get their freedom. Some of them will end up in AEW. Some of them will do different creative ventures. They won't be locked in because of their characters, you know, that they didn't like or whatnot. But a lot of these names, let's face it, these are not wrestlers that weren't on regular programming every week. Maybe a few of them were surprising names, probably. Gallows and Anderson would have been one of them, and Rusev in a sense, but a lot of them have asked for their releases, and now they get what they kind of been asking for. So,
Emily May, I know you're either one or two or three degrees removed from professional wrestlers. I mean, I think you're part of a company too, Championship Wrestling from Arizona. I mean, yeah, let's talk about your perspectives. I know you see some of the boys, you know, at wrestling a lot of times, a lot of levels is pretty much you fight today to eat today to fight tomorrow. I mean, how is this affecting you and your inner circle with this announcement?
Yeah, I mean, it started affecting us, you know, more than a month ago when there was rumors that we wouldn't be able to run shows. And I feel like, yes, we're talking about WWE, but it trickles down to every indie promotion, every show that you enjoy in your, you know, in your neighborhood and your community. And so it really is kind of heart-wrenching to see all of these wrestlers who this is their main income lose their jobs and their like creative outlets. And I feel like all of them are struggling to find their creative outlet, find the next step. I think what happened today was awful. But I also feel like a lot of them are going to, you know, find their new sense of belonging and their new sense of family. And we're all in this together. It's such a small industry. We all should support each other, and hopefully some will go to New Japan or AEW or any of the other promotions that would happily have them.
Now, Hamza, like me, you are a comedian, but unlike me, you actually wrestle. Thoughts about this, that you know, we always think about when you're a wrestler, whether you want to be a WWE guy or not, when we're kids and we're thinking about being a champ, it's usually at WrestleMania or something big like that. Imagine, I guess, from your perspective, how that must have felt seeing your colleagues being sent home, more or less.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard to watch, but I kind of agree with Jim. It's one of those spring cleaning things they do anytime, anyways, after WrestleMania all the time. So I just think it's the time that made it feel a little uncomfortable. But it's the sheer number of people that they got rid of. I feel like that was the biggest impact. There's typically not that many people. Yeah. The main two guys were Rusev and Leo Rush for me. Rusev mainly because I trained with him at Knox Pro Academy. So knowing him on a personal level, dude's so entertaining. I know he's gonna bounce back. Leo Rush does something that a lot of wrestlers don't do, and he extends out and reaches out and gets himself more creative on Instagram, right? So he has all these different things he does. He has this little rap music that he's got going on. He does funny skits with his wife on the Instagram and YouTube. So Leo's pretty smart. He's got a nice little base fan base set up around him. He can continue to create and continue to go. Something I've always told all my coworkers, every job I've ever had, is no matter how good the paychecks get, do not get comfortable. And I feel like that's where a lot of the people who did get fired will struggle, because they got so comfortable in getting that paycheck. Like, No Way Jose just shows up and gets a paycheck. And now where does he go after this? So uncertain, like Jim said, it's something that happens typically after WrestleMania anyways. The two that hit me the hardest were Leo Rush and Rusev.
Oh yeah, definitely. Rusev was like the I guess the biggest star, because he was in a storyline that lasted months. Mm-hmm. It's a rejective thing. He was in a storyline that lasted for months on Raw. Angie Harris in the chat says that Mike and Maria were AfterBuzz alum. That's also true. They hosted a couple shows as well. But let's get into NXT.
You might not be hosting now, Flomo. Maybe Mike and Maria.
I guess so. I'll just be in the back. I used to run the place here. No, let's talk about this NXT episode. A lot of things happening. First of all, it looked like WWE had to do some course correction. We had Finn Balor start the show, which I thought was kind of interesting. Besides the segment with Velveteen Dream later on today, I was starting to wonder, he was a little bit becoming that anti-hero character in his match against Fabian Aichner. Walter, I guess, is still in Europe, still not part of this Imperium storyline, so I don't know how long they would drag this out, but the match itself is pretty solid. Jim Alexander, Finn Balor, You on board still or nah?
Yeah, I'm on board. I mean, okay. I've been on board with him. I mean, obviously can't do the Walter thing. That's out of everyone's hand right now. No one can control that. That was the right move. That was the right direction for them to go to, but logistics don't allow it. So now you pivot to something new, and Velveteen Dream, it seems like a perfect opponent. Those two haven't wrestled each other. I think their styles will really mesh well together, and they could both tell a story. So then the promo work would be great between them too. So I hope they extend this for a bit. And I know we were in the middle of the whole Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream thing, but for some reason, it just hasn't taken off. Like I told you, they went backwards when they had Dream facing the other Undisputed Era guys instead of going straight for Adam Cole. Like, because after he took out all the other guys, that was the next guy. But I actually prefer Velveteen versus Balor. I think you're going to get more better matches from him and better promos. So I'm excited to see Balor being used finally in this capacity and something new for him and Velveteen.
Fair enough. But if Walter's not on the table, does it make sense to have Balor go through Imperium? It does seem kind of like a moot point, doesn't it, Hamza?
It seems kind of useless, to be honest. I think what's happening is the same thing with Money in the Bank. We're not 100% sure if that's going to even go through or go on, but let's continue to build towards it until we have concrete, like, need to change directions. So I think what they're going to do is continue this little feud if they can, in hopes that everything gets lifted and Walter can make his way back. But at the end of the day, it could be completely useless. Finn Balor is one of the highest paid guys there, so let's utilize him as much as possible, you know?
Fair enough. Emily May, if you were the shadow booker, Finn Balor is he's a force of nature. Yeah. Is Velveteen Dream the right answer at this point?
I think so. I mean, I am enjoying what he is doing with Imperium right now and kind of getting to Walter and building up to that. But I also like this alternative angle where he can, I've wanted him to be matched up with Velveteen Dream for a long time now. That's been like my dream match. So yeah, I know. Yeah. So I feel like Jim is right when he was talking about how this is a good pivot point. Like this is, if they build it right with the storytelling and the promos, like they're both great on the mic, they both can really bring it and they can build to this really epic confrontation. So I'm all for it.
All good points. I mean, I'm not even sure how many players are still involved. Because unlike the rosters on Raw and SmackDown, NXT personnel isn't announced. So I'm not even sure who's available. So if you're going to have Finn Balor, why not put Velveteen Dream there? Moving on, we had a rematch of sorts with Aaliyah, which I still can't remember the last time she won a match on TV, against Xia Li. Which Xia Li wins. I mean, she won her first mini feud. I'm going to start with you, Emily May. Xia Li looks like she has some upside. It's been a little bit of a slow burn here, but she won her first feud. What's next for the toughest woman I've seen do a workout on Instagram?
I know, right? Her Instagram videos are wild, right?
Can't do it. Nope.
Yep, nope. You know, I'm actually glad that she has this moment where she can finally get her shot and kind of get her win, because she, like, got attacked backstage a little while ago. Like, there was all this backstory where, like, she wasn't getting the matches that she deserved. And so I feel like this is a moment where she can really kind of embrace it, and they have the time to kind of take their time with it, but build it in the correct way. So I'm all for this build, and I'm glad that she had this moment with Aaliyah tonight.
Me too. Now, Jim, we've been on this show for a while, and we said week in and week out that Aaliyah, poor baby girl, she ain't gonna do much on the brand. But can I say that this was one of my favorite Aaliyah performances? Is that okay?
Sure, if you want to.
She's improved so much, though. Tonight she improved, though. Like, you could see it tonight. Like, I feel like it
was... improvement is just seeing her on TV. That's good enough for her at this point. I mean, consistently, right? I mean, I just thought it was like a filler match. They were both probably available, and you put them over. I don't think it's going to bring over either of them, because they just haven't been over for a long time. I guess maybe small stepping stones here for Xia Li, you know, to pick up a win and maybe gradually increase those win rates and appearances on TV. I think we know what Aaliyah is at this point, right? I don't think there's any mystery behind her. So, I mean, yeah, she put on a solid match. I thought it was an okay match for both of them, but not much significance all around.
Yo, so Hamza, you got Xia Li in the mix, Vanessa Bourne, Aaliyah, Caden Carter. These are ladies who are not going to be anywhere near the NXT women's title, but Charlotte's holding it. Is it time for a secondary women's title?
I think so. I mean, Aaliyah's cool. I like her. I do like her, because, you know, coming up as a wrestler myself, I know how hard it is to just put on something that people will enjoy. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she's getting to work with someone like Xia Li is pretty amazing to me. And I believe Xia Li is the first Chinese female wrestler that WWE's ever had, so they can do a lot with her. Especially, I mean, if you think Vince McMahon, you think money, that would be good money in a pretty big country to go out to, kind of like they did with Jinder Mahal and India. I don't know. It's making what, lemonade out of lemons, right? You have what you have in front of you. You try to do what you can with it. I still kind of liked it. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure why Jim didn't like it, but I kind of enjoyed it myself.
It doesn't move the storyline forward. I mean, for me, it's a match on the card, but
so really we have to also think that, like, right now we're at a weird time where we're not going to always get a match that has a story attached to it, because we're in this time where it's like they might not be able to build a story out because not all the talent is available. So for what it was in this moment and in this episode, I feel like both did a great job in kind of having this moment tonight.
Absolutely. Can I say that, and this is not your fault, Emily, I am just so tired of these challenging times, the times we're in. I'm just done turning heel on a virus.
I know, I'm sorry. Don't turn heel on me, turn heel on the virus.
Yeah, man, super kick on virus. But moving on, it's now time for my favorite part of the show. It's now time for the King's Court.
No music.
No, you don't
all
get that.
Hail. Jim Alexander.
It's like all hell.
Is it okay to use Rusev's drop, or this is not appropriate today?
Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
Hey, it's your boy Rusev.
No.
It's your boy Rusev.
And Lana. Well, King's Court today, we're gonna pump things up, because there's no cuts in the King's Court unless there's a suspension. Mandy Rose has been suspended for now, so. But we got
Liv Morgan. She followed her heart, Jim. She followed her heart.
No, I don't believe that. Heart. You don't follow it to that thing, okay? That thing, that's not appropriate. But what is appropriate is Liv Morgan is in. We're going to put in some of the new NXT. I need Tegan Knox, okay? I think she's been getting over on screen, and she's over in my world. Tegan Knox, welcome. Hello. You know what? I will give a shout out to Diana Perrazzo, because she's got a big future for her. But right now, when you know, welcome to the King's Court. I got to include some people. I just have it. You know, we talk about the hardworking crews, Charlie Caruso, Sarah Shriver. You're working on Raw. You're doing the work. Come on over. You are welcome. And those of you who haven't seen the Iconics, everyone's kind of welcome besides Mandy Rose right now. So, you know, but hey, we got people manning the door. If you saw Dylan Matthews, he put up, we got Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, my boy Rusev. Everyone's manning the door. So it's all good. In the hood right here.
The show's only 40 minutes. What are you doing?
Yeah, how big is your apartment?
The entire roster is at the door.
It's important. We got more room now, so.
For sure. And this real quick, this is something I've been doing for those of you who are like me, you're at home and self-quarantine watching wrestling matches. I call it the Lockdown Playlist. Today's matchup, or today's show, I think you should watch if you have some time. NXT TakeOver Orlando was April 1st, 2017, with a sick triple threat tag match with AOP and the Rival and DYI. And back when Sandy was a thing, remember that? They're an eight-person intergender tag match, which I thought was pretty cool, and Ember Moon, someone who thought was fantastic on NXT, and a match against Asuka. So if you have some time tomorrow, chilling out, you know, getting that DoorDash delivery, supporting local economies and businesses, make sure you check out TakeOver Orlando. So, also on the show tonight, the interim cruiserweight tag, interim cruiserweight title tournament, is because Jordan Devlin is probably self-quarantining himself in Ireland, can't be there. He's upset about it on Twitter. I don't blame the guy because he's the future. I thought it was going to be a single elimination, but it was a round robin, two group thing, which we have Akira Tozawa against Isaiah Swerve Scott, the first matchup today. Hamza, help me out here. What? This was so simple. Jordan Devlin was a champion, but now we have an interim champion and a tournament and group A's and B's. What's up? Yep.
That's making, you know how I said, taking lemons, making lemonade. That's making it work when you make that lemonade. And that's what they did with this interim title thing. I love the concept of it. I love the idea behind it. I'm curious to see how it'll play out once he's able to come back and defend the actual title. I was surprised with this match, though, because I was hands down ready for Isaiah to go ahead and win this, move forward. He was actually one of my picks for the interim champion, you know? And then Akira, he's just a very, very good, in a good way, a very good jobber. Typically, when he's out there, he's really good at selling. He's good at putting on a match, storytelling. Everything's perfect when it comes to him as a jobber. But then he won this match, so threw me a bit for a loop. But it got me excited and got me involved and wanting to see what happens next.
Yeah, does that like kind of bury the NXT roster if you could lose every match on Raw and then somehow become a Superman on NXT? Jim Alexander, thoughts about the tournament and the match tonight?
It could have been one of those things where it's like, hey, Akira, thanks for helping us out by losing 97 times. So we're going to let you win the 98th time in this interim championship. Don't worry about these other guys. We were going to get rid of them, but we decided to get rid of Leo Rush instead, and all of them could keep their salaries.
Come on, man. Hot takes. Jim, help me out. What's up?
Well, the match itself, I mean, come on. It speaks for itself. I mean, Swerve should have picked up the win. I mean, because he's the one that has at least some sort of potential, right? And there's still opportunity for him going forward. You would hope so. That didn't happen. There's only two people that could realistically win this. And we were talking, go over the name, because there's like some people that, Drake Maverick is not with the company anymore, so that can't happen, right? You have
Ilya the Fantasma.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. I think that's – we saw a promo for him. I know you're probably going to get into that a little bit later, but I think that's kind of – it's pointing to him being the winner, right? I mean, it has to be. Who else really there has a chance or really would get an interim championship, because no one's really over.
I would agree with you, but when they changed it to a round robin, I was like, well, I don't know. Like, if you're guaranteeing everyone have three matches, it's hard to say something when have the best record. You know, if it was single elimination, sure, he'll steamroll everybody. He can be the champion and go, okay, he's that badass.
You know? That's a way to push him, too, to get through all of this. So we have a good introduction.
Kushida, Drake Maverick, Tony Nese, Jake Atlas on one side, and Isaiah, El Hijo del Fantasma, Akira Tozawa, and Gentleman Jack Gallagher on the other side. After the cruiserweight tag team, the cruiserweight title tournament
doesn't matter.
That's a tongue twister.
Playa,
to practice that.
Yeah, for real. We get three matches next week, and I think it will be another chance for Jake Atlas to showcase his stuff. He was a big indie signing this year, and especially if you live here in Southern California, you might be a fan of the guy. Fantastic competitor too. So that's kind of the guy I'm rooting for. I don't know if you guys have any picks going into this at all.
It was Isaiah for me, but I guess no more. I know. I'll get behind Akira. Let him win.
There's still time.
Hell no.
Oh no!
Come on, man. Kushida. I mean, what about Kushida? He has had no direction so far. It's been kind of a thing where he was such a hyped up talent. I mean, would this help him to get this Cruiserweight Championship? I don't know if it would deter him or help him. I'm kind of split on that one, because it's like, if you knock him down a notch, sure, he could be easily the Cruiserweight Champion, but then, you know, does that mean a demotion a bit for a guy that they hyped up to be a solid mid-carder, you know, on the NXT roster? So I'm not sure if him winning would be a good thing.
I hate playing fantasy booker, but imagine if Kushida wins this thing, right? And he does a time travel thing, and he's fantastic, but he's kind of goofy. You want to reestablish Devlin as his complete beast and have him steamroll Kushida and go, no, I was always a champion. I mean, Kushida could be that guy, unfortunately, you know?
I mean, I feel like what we have to think about is like the long-term game and strategy. Like who, like you said, Flobo, like who would be best to defend it against Devlin, and like what would be the best match, because you're going to have so many matches leading up to it. What's going to make the biggest punch?
It's hard to say. And when that match is going to be.
Yeah.
Flobo, you made a little bit of sense when you said Kushida's a time traveler. I wonder if he wins it and do a time travel before Rona, get people in the audience.
Not you too, the time traveler. I think we're on NXT 6 months ago, and I was like, guys, he's a time traveler. And both Evan Mack and Jack Farmer were like, really? We had no idea. I had no idea.
Sometimes it takes a second.
Yeah.
No, it's the second's been too long. All right. 6 months, second.
So let's talk about this quick women's match, Tegan Nox against Raquel Gonzalez. I think the first full match is Raquel Gonzalez as opposed to Reyna Gonzalez, like the Texan, right? Pretty quick, she came out on the losing end, but what I saw was pretty interesting was Shotzi Blackheart getting involved. Here's my hot take of the match. I think Shotzi and Tegan Nox could challenge for the women's tag team titles, personally. Emily May, thoughts about the match?
Yes. So I really enjoyed this. I feel like this was a great moment for Raquel to showcase like her strength and stuff, because I feel like she was just kind of causing trouble in the women's division a little bit with Tegan Nox. And so I loved it. I loved that there was the surprise with Shotzi Blackheart coming out and causing trouble. And I like that we're gonna see this kind of tag team develop. I think it was really fun, and I liked that that she brought it tonight.
Sure, comes up.
Yep. I agree with Emily. I mean, Raquel's fun to watch. I'm glad she got a chance to showcase herself a little bit. I don't know if you remember, Emily, because you've done these shows a few times, but when I was on the show a couple of months ago, you mentioned Raquel being a force to be reckoned with and someone that they can really build up. I think you even mentioned she's looked like Sonya Deville at the moment, but you know.
She did, yeah.
It was a good match. It was fun. It was a fun way to get people to a few different women involved. So it was a nice little angle they had. It was fun seeing Shotzi again. But I agree with Flobo. I think they're just trying to build up better women's tag team wrestlers to put together against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jim, I know, I think about 2 months ago, you said for Dakota Kai or Tegan Nox to get any better up the card, you need to be separated. But yep. NXT is like, nah, put them together one more time. Thoughts about that transpiration today?
Well, it's going to keep on going in a circle, right? Until I like Tegan Nox picking up the win. I think it matters, you know, and finally getting her over is over Raquel, who's like a big imposing figure in that sense. But they need to separate him, because it's not going to go anywhere. As far as them teaming up with Shotzi and going for attack titles, no, they're not credible enough as a team, or that would take a long build, you know, for them to be actually established as a regular team. I think Tegan Nox is better off alone and chasing actually the women's title. I mean, after Io gets through and maybe Mia Yim apparently, but whatever that means, but Tegan Nox is right there as someone who could challenge. I think she's legitimate. Oh, please. She's legitimate enough to go on a singles run and actually, you know, go. I mean, who else, right? I think she's on the level where she's a legitimate contender for the title. And if she keeps on continuing picking up wins, that would be good. It's just separate her from Dakota Kai, because they're none of them are going to get over if they keep on facing each other.
So let's talk about that. Now we're on the subject of it. Charlotte had a Queen's speech, her second of the week, which people were kind of worried. Why is there NXT person on Raw? But she's on NXT too, so she's all about that. saying she was good, she was great, and you got all the footage and all the receipts of everyone she beat with that with the figure eight, which doesn't make the move any more devastating, but okay, I'm still on board with that. She curiously gave the first shot after Io Shirai to Mia Yim, which I am confused about. Emily May, you're on Women's Wrestling Weekly. We've interviewed Mia Yim on that show, I believe, a couple times. Just thoughts about that, having Charlotte Flair on NXT, giving a speech and the promo, and giving the first shot to Mia Yim?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great angle. I feel like this is the only way you could really do it while when you're bringing Charlotte back to NXT. Really, she's going to go through the roster. So you not only have fans watching from the multiple branches of WWE, but you're going to get new fans that are going to tune in just to see Charlotte go through the women's division. And I was a little thrown off by her first pick. I'm not sure why she picked her. I think it's going to be an incredible match, but I'm not sure if that was the person I would have picked first.
So do you like it or you don't? Mia, yeah. Yeah.
Me? I like it, but I like the match, but I don't know if I would have chosen it first.
Fair. Hamza, what's up? You're shaking your head like,
I'm not sure what you mean.
I feel like I felt like it was pretty obvious what they're doing. They're calling out somebody that's easily beatable for Charlotte to look strong before she gets to her biggest competition in NXT. If anything, it could be a couple of things. They can have it to where it's a fallback plan. Now they're being smart, thinking about creating secondary rivalries in case one person can't show up, have the other person show up and do the rivalry with them or whatever the case may be. It could be another thing, could be leading to a triple threat, and maybe Charlotte loses, and maybe Charlotte doesn't need to get pinned, so they throw Mia Yim in there to get pinned. It can go in a lot of different directions, and I think the smartest thing to do right now would be to throw as many people in the title pictures as possible to keep our options open in case we need to switch things up on the fly so it makes sense.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Hamza. I think if WWE was smart, you'll have different rivalries and whatnot. But it seems I've never seen in a promo that's pre-packaged having someone do that before. Like, I'm thinking about when John Cena called out Daniel Bryan. That was a promo in the crowd. But to have it like with the package and them shaking hands, to me it's kind of weird. Jim, what do you think, man?
What, the Mia Yim or the package from
The Mia Yim thing. Both. I think that's okay. A more newsworthy bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought the package was actually more so than Mia Yim.
Okay.
Because Mia Yim is just a stepping stone. If that's what for me, it's how long is Charlotte staying? If she's staying for a long run or five to the end of the year or so, cool. You can feed her Mia Yim. She's the next in line. She's going to be kind of like Io Shirai. It's just going to be quick and easy and on to the bigger fish, right? But if she's actually there for like a short term for a couple months and it's about to drop, you don't want to waste Charlotte on Mia Yim. I mean, come on. You want to use some better matchups there potentially available on that roster, not Mia Yim. So it all depends on the long-term game. Is Charlotte staying there for a long term? If so, Mia Yim, fine. It's a quick stepping stone. If not, then it's just a waste of time and everything.
Well, but that's part of what my point was, is that I want to kind of know where it's going, and I'm not sure if this pick feels like they know for sure.
Right. Well, then I wouldn't waste it on Mia Yim if they don't know how long Charlotte's going to be there.
I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte picked Mia herself. A lot of people tend to like Mia in the wrestling world, like mm-hmm. actual other wrestlers. They like her as a person a lot. And people preach really highly of her. So I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte just went in there and said, hey, I want to go against Mia.
Yeah. Hamza, you're right. A lot of wrestlers say they would want to have a match with her. And so it just makes sense.
See, but here's my problem with this. Because I guess you don't get tickets to dance if you suck, right? But mm-hmm. if you're going back 3, 6, 9 months, ever since Mia Yim lost to Shayna Baszler, her win-loss record has been pretty weird. So it just feels like odd for Charlotte to be like, I'm picking as an in-story character line. Be like, right. I'm the best in the world. You haven't won in 6 months. You have a match. It just seems kind of weird out of character for the greatest female wrestler of all time. That's just me personally. So I'm not like bagging on Mia Yim. So you Mia Yim stands, don't send me any hate mail. If you want to send hate mail, little Jim Alexander, I'm gonna let you know.
It's fine.
No. Yo, so moving
Jim
on.
Gets enough. It's fine.
We had care. A real.
I don't
real
read life. It anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Just like delete it. We had a real life serial killer coming out to the Stranger Things theme song. Dexter Lumis had a match today against Tahuti Miles, who also appeared on Raw this week, which I gotta be honest with you, it is impossible to chant Tahuti in a crowd. So I knew he was gonna win this match. Jim, that was your part in the 6 second wrap up. What's the deal with Dexter Lumis and why are you so high on him?
I love this guy. I called him first time he saw him. Listen, some guys, when they just debut immediately, you are captivated with and interested in. He's a guy that is absolutely has it. We don't know. He's just, I mean, they're pitching the eyes and the look, but he's got a unique character and a look. And he can work in a ring. I like his move style is completely different, and it's not generic at all. I think he's got a great move set, and that's complementary to his character. I think this guy is a legit star. And then we saw him, and they're going to actually ride out with it, as the way I feel, because you saw him in the background later on in the show. So that was a tease of something to come, potentially him and getting involved in the Riddle feud or whatnot. But this guy is a potential, if they, all it matters right now, you have an interesting character here. You have a guy that looks the part. You, all you need to do is just keep on riding him and having him destroy people and keep on moving up. You could make a star out of this guy. You just can't mess it up. I like everything about Dexter Lumis, and I can't wait to see more because he's a – I know his character now. It's a psycho killer kind of – and he comes to the Stranger Things music. He's a mass murderer from a movie, right? And this is something we haven't really seen characterized in the wrestling world.
So, can I ask a follow-up question because you are from Chicago? He finished that match tonight with the Anaconda Vice, which is made popular by another Chicago wrestler you may have heard of, CM Punk.
That's right.
Thoughts about that?
I liked it. I liked it. We haven't seen Anaconda Vice as a finisher in a long time at all or anything. I mean, you know, it's like a sleeper hold of sorts, right? I mean, back in the day, I think it's a throwback move in a lot of ways. I like it. I think it's a great thing because he's choking someone out. It fits the character. If he's a serial killer, he'd be choking people, and he had that death stare too. Love this guy and what he's all about. Not that I'm into serial killers or anything, but
you sound pretty like you are, bro.
You're kind of putting him over right now.
I love his eyes. It's a really good look, bro. I just can't.
Exciting wrestling character for sure.
Is this gimmick infringement, Hamza? I mean, let me know. Am I crazy?
It seems like both wrestlers in this match were taking shots at other wrestlers. WWE might be doing it because Dexter was using the Anaconda Vice, CM Punk, Tehuni Miles, what, Jordan Miles? Didn't he just get, like, let go from WWE not too long ago? Very similar character. I did like the ending of the Vice because they didn't show it on TV, but I kind of caught a glimpse of it. He was cradling Miles' head in his lap afterwards as if, like, oh, I'm sorry I put you to sleep, my child, or whatever it was. And it
kind
of creepy. Yeah, like what Bray Wyatt does. Yep, just nurturing his opponents to sleep, my child. So it's exciting, and I agree with Jim. It's very, like, it's kind of different than what I've been used to seeing. So exciting to see where it goes and how they kind of take it forward from here. I hope they continue to make him look strong, because as soon as they make him lose, his run's going to be over.
So, Emily May, there was a lot of criticism about NXT saying, you know what? Everyone's just a bunch of Shawn Michaels clones. Super kick there, kick outs there. Dexter is pretty much different as it is right now on the roster. Can this survive and thrive in the black and gold brand?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can. I think that's why he keeps getting pushed right now and getting these matches. But I have to say, I'm not completely on board with his look. I know, I'm going to say it. I'm going to actually say something bad, you guys.
That's a preach!
Just because I'm not sure. I get that he's trying to be this serial killer, and he's trying to, like, he doesn't blink, and he freaks me out. And I know, but I just wish that the energy came through a little bit more with his, he could do the serial killer eyes, he could do all the creepy, like, you know, the energy going through his body and showing that, but it needs to, like, go through the moves. And I feel like it just, he could be so like strong and going going against top talent if he just kind of worked on following through with that energy.
And Flobo, let me finish off on your point. You said, can he survive an NXT brand? I don't think he'll be there long enough. No. I think he's going to move to the main roster. And you know what he's going to be? He could be Randy Orton's protege. Perfect storyline angle. You have the psycho Randy Orton, who's kind of out of his mind right now, you know, with the Edge thing that we saw. Randy Orton takes some time off. And that's how you could reintroduce Randy Orton with the same similar character and bring this guy as being Randy Orton's protege. I think Randy would do wonders with this kid, and this could be a huge mini stable and take this guy to the next level.
Or Flobo, or maybe he gets stuck in the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah. Wait, a two-man stable, the tag team, Jim. A mini stable, though.
We can record someone else later on, but these two are the starters.
I'm officially on the fence. He has potential. I'm not quite there yet, but if they come out with a t-shirt, it just has to be his eyes on both sides of the chest. I'll be on board for that.
I mean, I like the moment later on in this episode where he was like kind of pure looming. I'm going to say looming. And everyone else just like the today. Red light. I know, right? The red light. Like it, like I was like, okay, he has the presence to really bring it, but I just wish they tightened up. He kind of tightened up the moments in the ring.
That's fair enough. But let's talk about this main event, the Undisputed Era, which was featuring a Kyle O'Reilly on vacation, Undisputed Era, and Adam Cole, to be honest with you, Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong taking on the Broserweights with a 9-minute addition of Timothy Thatcher. If you guys know the independent scene, Timothy Thatcher, it's a bruiser, ring count, all of that stuff. But if you were just an NXT fan, who? fantastic match, I thought, but I thought there could have been a little bit more of trying to establish who Timothy was. Let me ask you, because I know as a wrestler, you have a very, very short time to connect with an audience, even though there's an audience right there in the crowd. Did Timothy Thatcher do a good job? Was a match a good presentation of the Broserweights, even without Pete Dunne?
I got to give it a no. What is it? A no. I can't say it did. And it could be, again, coming from the fact that he is an independent wrestler. He's just doing shows in front of crowds, and therefore it was a little bit of a different feel for him. He couldn't react off the crowd. So there's excuses there that he can hold on to. But when you come in to replace Pete Dunne, you have to cement your spot. You have to cement your spot, and you have to make sure that you showcase your talents as if you belong there. I don't think he did. He didn't come off very, very, like, bruiserweighty to me. He came off a little bit lackluster. His hits were a little bit soft, in my opinion. I don't know. I kind of wish he did a little bit better, because I was excited to see who would be replacing Pete Dunne, and the replacement just did not do him justice.
Yo, he said he was soft, bro. Let them Timothy know. Hummus said you soft.
Oh, I mean, if we ever get in the ring, he'll probably stiff the hell out of me and be like,
yeah, oh, he's going to give you a little receipt. No, exactly.
And a kind of vice. I want your perspective on this one, Jim. I know we talked about Pete Dunne being a star, but he wasn't there tonight. So you got Matt Riddle. You have a tag team partner who's also British, but your thoughts about the match?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Hamza, you said he's used to wrestling in front of indie crowds. They got no crowds. He's used to wrestling in front of nothing. So this was perfect in his wheelhouse. Second of all, it's truth. Second of all, so in a sense, he's like kind of a generic British wrestler, right? I mean, it doesn't have like, I kind of like Larkin and those Ollie Larkin and those guys, Danny Burch. He kind of reminds me of the guys in that.
Larkin's from Boston, but I know what you mean.
But you know what I mean. Like, there's just kind of a generic brawler. That's what he is. I think he has some potential if he has a character or he has mic skills. I have no idea if he does. But his look is somewhat – he's ripped, right? He kind of reminds me of a Cesaro Light in a way where you could – but Cesaro can talk and he's charismatic, so that's why he's – completely over. But this guy has something about him. His physique and his kind of look with the teeth missing, I thought that's part of a gimmick too. You can have that. So depends on if we see him more, if there's any more, he just got thrown into it today. But if there's any character kind of elaboration on it, you could have something, at least a mid-card out of this guy. So I wasn't too disappointed with that. Problem for me is, especially Undisputed Era, I'm just so bored of those guys, man. At some point, I just didn't care they were in the ring anymore. They've been so overdone. Like, I don't know if I want these guys separate on different rosters or something, or just split completely together, but we need to end this Undisputed Era thing because it's gotten way too stale.
Sure. I also agree. I mean, I'm a big fan of Bobby Fish, but that team needs something else. Emily, may thoughts about the match at our main event tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall it was really good. I was excited to see Thatcher come out. It was a surprise. I think it was a surprise pick. I think because he just was recently signed, so I've seen him a little bit on the indie circuit, so I've kind of seen him develop, and his facial expressions are some of the best when he's in the ring. And I feel like they needed someone that could contrast Matt Riddle, because Matt Riddle kind of has what, like you said, Jim, he has that character that's established already. And so I liked how it was a contrast where you have this serious, like serious technical wrestler that's going to come in and kind of fill that void. Again, you're not going to fill the done void in you know right away, because again they're trying to like find the best match, the best matchups. But I think it was a great debut, and I think he's going to go far if he continues to develop.
It's almost time we get out of here, but there's one more question I have on my mind. The debut of Karrion Kross here tonight, Tommaso Ciampa is going to be like, Gargano, you're the better. Oh, hit from behind, TikTok. Exciting times. I'm excited for Killer Kross or Karrion Kross, what he means to the WWE NXT. But again, with the name change, I don't know what that means. Jim Alexander, you've been following this guy for a while. Thoughts about him on this brand?
I think they're shooting him right to the top, right? I mean, you're going to put him against Ciampa. Ciampa's the top three guy on NXT, whichever way you put it. And if they're going to feud him with Ciampa, I think that's going to be tremendous because he's coming in as a heel. He's got Scarlett by his side, which she's going – I think it depends what – obviously, she's going to probably be with Killer Kross or whatever you want to call him right now. But I think she has potential down the road to be the star of this division, you know, once she starts wrestling. So I'm excited about them. I think they're – we're talking about some wrestlers just not getting a comeback or proper introduction, Nia Jax on Raw, whatnot. This guy has had the best sort of introduction for what they've been able to do so far with no audience, no crowd. They promoted him well. They've teased him well. And now I think it's exciting time to see him because I think he's going to be a top guy on this roster, and it looks good so far.
Emily May, thoughts about Karrion Kross?
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously seen these promos and these teases leading up to this. And so I feel like this is a perfect time to, you know, have this big match. And I think Jim is right where he's going to get a big push. And I like this matchup. I'm excited to see what they do and what they bring.
Yeah, fantastic. Final word, Hamza.
I'm liking it so far. I feel like they're taking it and running with it. They're doing these like theatrical shots of them and like way of making the camera fall over. I think right now, I hate repackaging of anybody really, but this one probably will end up working out just because of how theatrical everything is so far. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, I am too. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of NXT After Show and AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports, the home of all your coverage, social media skim, AEW social media skim, AEW Dynamite. But first, all that stuff is way more important. But Jim Alexander, where can the world find you online?
Oh, they know where to find me at the Jim Alexander on social media, realtalker.com. Check it out. Real Talker, subscribe on YouTube. Still work. We have our podcast, me and you, Flobo. People want to hear about Corona. We're talking about some serious stuff there, okay?
Yeah.
Check it out on Real Talker on the YouTube page.
Hell, the Emmy nominated Emily May, where can the world find you making happen on your own enterprise?
Yeah, you can find me on all social media platforms at Emily May Heller.
And the man of Hamza Mania, where can the world find you online, baby?
Right where you said it, Hamza Mania. All social media, Hamza, H-U-M-Z-A, underscore Mania, M-A-N-I-A, as well as Knox Pro Wrestling Academy here in Los Angeles with Rikishi. We'll be putting on shows soon, so come check us out.
Oh, yeah, and of course, my name is Flobo Boyce. You can follow me at Flobo Boyce on Twitter, at Flobito on Instagram, and, of course, Flobito.com. Thank you so much for your support here on AfterBuzz and all over the digital works and space. Follow me on Patreon, patreon.com/Flobo Boyce. And until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.